Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and the Step Back. Have a really fun show today. Kevin Young from Grizzly Bear Blues, SB Nation's Grizzlies blog, is here today to preview Tuesday and Wednesday's games against the Memphis Grizzlies. The Cavs are playing the same opponent back-to-back. Should be an interesting night of basketball in Cleveland and then in Memphis. And Kevin's a great blogger, a great writer, and he gives you a really good insight on the show, I think, about what makes this really interesting Memphis Grizzlies team work. They're suffering through a ton of injuries, but Marc Gasol is playing great and hitting threes, and they're right in the middle of the Western Conference playoff picture. And if you want more Grizzlies content, Locked On Grizzlies, you can find that on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher. That's part of the Locked On Network as well, and it's a good daily Grizzlies podcast. If you want to get some more in-depth look at the team the Cavs are going to play twice in 2 days, that's the podcast to go look at after you listen to this one, of course. Additionally, tomorrow we'll have a little bit of a non-game show looking at trade assets with the Cavs, and then Thursday we'll recap both Cavs games. Plus, just want to let you guys know that today's podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. Basically, anything you want to bet on, you can do it at BetDSI.com. So if you love basketball, this is the place to get into the action. They have over 20 years in the business, they're top-rated, and it's safe. You're going to get fast and easy payment on all of your winnings, and they have a great basketball special going on right now. Sign up today and use the promo code Cavaliers10, and you're going to get $10 free to try their service. They have great customer service, so if you have any problems, they're going to help you right away. And this is a place that has hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. You can bet on the UFC as well. So if you're like me and you're a big fight fan and you want to bet on UFC 207 at the end of the month, you can do it. Plus, you can bet on live in-game events like football, basketball games, and other major events if you're somebody who wants to play along as you go. If you want to bet on something, BetDSI is going to have it. So go to BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com. Use the promo code Cavaliers10 and get your free wager and start winning today. Plus, don't forget that the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals, and go buy a limited edition 3-1 lead, the Pelican and Sticker Pack, from I'm Sorry Mark Jackson, a merch store by Fear the Sword writer Daniel Rao. While you're there, you can pick up a Doris Burke pin and or a Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy sticker. All proceeds go directly to Dan's Donut Filled Diet and Art. So if you go to bit.ly/sorrymark and buy Dan's pins, you can support his donut habit and let him live a donut-filled life. And without further ado, here's today's show with Kevin Young from Grizzly Bear Blues.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
I'm pretty good, man. You?
Good. So we're here to preview Cavs-Grizzlies. It's weird because they're playing two games in 2 days, which is not something that happens. I want to say the Cavs and Grizzlies actually did this last year, though. Like, I might be wrong, but I think this was something that happened last year, oddly enough, and the Cavs do this next week as well.
No, I don't really remember.
I think at some point this happened. It may have not been against Memphis, but I have, like, a weird memory. But NBA games just all slosh together. At some point, like, it's just a mess.
Yeah.
But Memphis is, one of the more fascinating teams for a lot of reasons. They have a new coach. Marc Gasol's back to being Marc Gasol. They've had just a rash of kind of crazy injuries. But before we get into the actual important basketball stuff, I have to ask you. One of the Grizzlies games I caught this year was the game where he did the billionaire strut a la Conor McGregor. I was shocked that this was, like, something Marc Gasol would do because not that he's, like, you know, this, I'm like, boring person, but, like, he's the opposite of,
no, like, he's,
McGregor.
Like, quiet, he's reserved,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, Conor McGregor is this, like, brash Irish MMA fighter who, like, wears, like, mink coats to press conferences and, like, steals people's belts and just talks a bunch of crap. And, like, Marc Gasol does the billionaire strut, And then he goes on Twitter with a video of it and like and quotes McGregor. Like, is this like the top five Marc Gasol thing that has happened? Because for me, like, it made me love Marc Gasol even more than I already did, because it just gave him this like dimension of personality that we hadn't really seen.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the thing with Marc is that he's just, you know, he is like reserved on the one hand, but he's kind of like, he's not quiet or anything. He's just quirky, I think. So he'll bust out those random moments once in a while, and it's like, it feels like Marc Gasol. This is like Marc Gasol being Marc Gasol, just in a way where he's more, you know, he's feeling himself. Yeah. So that's what it is. I don't think it's anything where he's displaying like a new personality or whatever. It's just him being him at like peak Marc.
Yeah, I want more of that, because like he's my favorite Gasol brother.
Like, oh yeah,
like I think easy to love. Like Pau's cool, and like but Pau's like your like uppity friend who goes to the opera.
Yeah.
And like Marc just kind of like doesn't seem to have as much like reservation about like mm-hmm. you know like the highbrow stuff. But to kind of look broadly at Memphis, what has been their story for you this year? Like they have so many things that have happened, and there's a lot of change, and yet they're in the playoff. You know, they're in the playoffs if the season ended today. What has been their story so far?
Honestly, I'd have to say it's the injuries. You know, the injuries are back. We've got Chandler Parsons. This has played, I think, 6 games so far. Yeah, we don't know what's up with him. They were saying earlier in the last week that he was going to be out for the whole season, but that turned out to be a false report. But even then, I thought it could have been legit just because, you know, it was par for the course. And then, you know, obviously Mike Conley's out for a long time. Zach Randolph was out of the lineup recently. James Ennis, of course, also hurt. It's just a whole smattering of injuries. And, you know, when all those things came all at once, all those injuries hit all at once, I thought this was going to be, you know, a repeat of last season where it was going to be just a bunch of end-of-bench guys scrambling for 500. But then it's kind of weird because they've been winning a lot. They've won, I think, 6 in a row now. Obviously, destroyed the Warriors last night. Mm-hmm. Who could have seen that coming? I just feel like the thing about the Grizzlies sometimes is that when things go wrong, and they usually end up going wrong because that's just how Grizzlies basketball is,
right.
They find a way to just like miraculously keep winning or keep pushing forward. And I think, you know, it's one of the things that's the best thing about the Grizzlies, being a Grizzlies fan.
Yeah. The Parsons contract, to me, it's like I loved the signing because I think it offered them something that they wouldn't have had otherwise. And I get the trepidation with it because you paid a guy with a kind of a wonky injury history a ton of money. But, like, I mean, looking back now, is it too – I mean, how do you feel about it, like, 6 months after, you know, he signed it and having just played so little? And, like, the most memorable thing that has happened to him this season is Joel Embiid being in his Instagram comments. Like, that is, like, the most memorable yeah. thing of Chandler Parsons' season. And it's like, is that weird so far? Like, and how are Grizzlies fans feeling about Chandler Parsons right now?
Right. Well, first, the most memorable Chandler Parsons thing this year was definitely his low-cut V-neck from last night.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did see that when I woke up this morning. And then I was like, oh, my God, Chandler. Like,
yeah. It's a bold move.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like, you know, I mean, back when they signed him, this was, you know, kind of the assumed risk. You knew that he was struggling with injuries in Dallas. You knew that Mark Cuban, his best friend, didn't want to offer him a max contract. And, you know, Memphis did that knowing coming in what the injury status was like, more or less. So, you know, it's only 30 games in. He hasn't played too much so far. He hasn't looked great when he's done so. But I don't want to say that we were caught unprepared for this. Back when they signed him, it was a good contract. It was, you know, a risky contract, but it was the risk they had to take because most of their core is, you know, approaching 30 or on the wrong side of 30. They needed that two-way wing, you know, at all costs. And Parsons, if he's healthy, he's going to be a really, really good fit for them. So I think the hope is that he can get healthy. He can be that fit that they were looking for. And I think, yeah, just fingers crossed going forward.
Yeah, if he is healthy, I think he gives them just something that, again, like they didn't have in the peak grit and grind years, right? Like a guy who can play a couple positions, who can shoot, who can handle the ball and take pressure off Mike Conley. And that's the type of player in this NBA that has so much value. It just sucks that he's been – and he offers, like, a culture change. Like, I don't know if you – over the summer, I was listening to this podcast with Chris Vernon, who does podcasts, NBA pods for The Ringer and for, you know, I think it's Grind Street Media.
I think it's his own. Yep.
And he was talking about how in the locker room, like, he had these, like, white boy Wednesdays where he could play whatever he wanted. And, like, Zubo and Tony Allen would want to listen to, like, Future and Gucci. And, like, Chandler Parsons would just have on, like, dance music, like, in the weight room. And, like, he just offers, like, this culture change in all these different ways. Because a guy like Parsons is, like, for lack of a better adjective coming to my mind, like, he's a Hollywood flashy
guy. Exactly, yeah, he's an LA guy.
Memphis doesn't have that. Like, Mike Conley is not that. Tony Allen is not that. Zebo is not that at all.
I just feel like, you know, it is a change. It's kind of funny just to see, like, you know, the small town kind of Memphis guys that we've known for so long on the bench just kind of being themselves. And then you see Chandler Parsons out there wearing something funky, like a V-neck going down to his chest. And that's like, that's just totally out of there. I think there are a few Memphis fans who honestly, like, are really, really sort of abrasive to it. Like, they don't like him at all. Mm-hmm. But personally, I'm just like, hey, it's great we got Chandler Parsons. I'm just gonna rock with it.
Yeah. So the injuries this year, they haven't kept Memphis necessarily from being really good, right? Like, I mean, we haven't seen – it's not like they've
they've been playing surprisingly well.
Yeah, like I believe they have the best defense in the league as we record this per defensive rating. They're fifth out west, ahead of teams like the Thunder, the Jazz, and the Blazers, right behind the Rockets. And the Clippers is just by half a game in both those cases. Mm-hmm. The offense isn't great, though, but, like, so – I mean, how good exactly is Memphis, and how hard is it for you to actually kind of peg them, considering guys like Parsons, guys like James Ennis, guys like Mike Conley, guys like Vince have been hurt?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're definitely not as good. On this day, with who they have healthy, they're not as good as they have looked so far. You know, obviously, they beat the Warriors by, I think, 20-something points last night. 31, actually. And then, you know, obviously, they're not going to do that on most nights, even when they're at full health. I think the thing is right now is just that everybody's playing above and beyond where they're expected to be at. And obviously that's huge given all the injuries right now. It's a very fun thing to watch guys like Troy Daniels or Troy Williams or JaMychal Green, you know, blow up and lead the Grizzlies to, you know, a 6-game win streak. That's a lot of fun. It's just one of those things where, you know, with all the injuries, they're scrambling to get as many wins as they can to make the playoffs. So these kind of stepping up performances that they're getting are huge right now. When they're at full health, I think they'll be, you know, a top probably 5, 6, maybe 7 team in the West. They'll give somebody that tough first round playoff series as they always have. But as to the way they're going to play at full health, that's not something we've been able to see yet. So maybe that's what to watch for going forward.
I mean, where do you, just based on your best guess right now, where do you think they fall in amongst the Western Conference? Like, where do you kind of see them ending up?
I'd say they're around the Utah level, kind of. I mean, Utah, they're also hard to peg because, you know, they're a rising team. They've had a few injuries of their own. But I'm just going to say that, like, kind of third tier after, you know, Golden State is its own first tier. Spurs, Clippers, Rockets, probably the second tier. And then you can lump in the Grizzlies in that kind of unknown third tier with the Jazz and the Blazers, probably.
That makes kind of sense, because I think the Clippers at their best are probably better, right? Like, you know, the Warriors are up there.
Yeah, they're a step forward.
And the Spurs are, you know, the Spurs, like, they're really freaking good.
Oh, never bet against the Spurs.
Yeah, like, honestly, never do unless, like, they're playing the Warriors. It's, like, the only reason to. But, I mean, Marc Gasol, to me, is, like, the guy who I kind of have enjoyed most watching on this team amongst the guys who have been healthy. The three-point shooting, I mean, is a big reason why. I'm looking at his basketball reference page right now. Mm-hmm. Coming into this year, the most three-pointers he had ever taken in a game was 0.2. That was back in 2014-15, was the most recent time he did that. Last year, he was at 0.1. This year, he's at 3.6. And we, you know, right now in the NBA, we do see a lot of guys saying they're going to become three-point shooters. They're going to add that to their game, Blake Griffin being, you know, the prime example of that. Marc Gasol has actually done it, and it is an actual thing. Like, this is a real 24-game sample of him hitting in threes, and he's making them above 40%. I mean, were you expecting this?
I can't say that I was expecting him to take this many, but I always thought, and I feel like people in Memphis always thought that, you know, he was capable of doing this. It was just a matter of getting him out there and letting him shoot, because, you know, even in those years past where he wasn't taking three-pointers, he was kind of in that LaMarcus Aldridge super deep two range where he looked ultra comfortable, kind of, you know, just step inside of the three-point line. He was taking, you know, tiptoe jumpers where he wasn't really jumping. So it definitely looked like he was capable of stretching out those extra few inches. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to having David Fizdale as coach. He was a big part of Chris Bosh shooting more threes in Miami. And I was doing kind of the same thing with Mark and also, you know, Zach Randolph and JaMychal Green and even Jarrell Martin, the other bigs on the team. And what it does for Memphis is that, Well, first of all, it's a lot of fun to watch Mark shooting threes like that. I feel like it's such a Marc Gasol thing to add, you know, any kind of new dimension that makes them way more fun to watch. And for Memphis, it's opening up so much just because now they can have one of their big men out on the three-point line. They have a little bit more spacing. They can put the ball in Mark's hands up top and let him control more of the offense. He, at the end of the day, all Mark wants to do is pass. So, you know, you can give him the ball up top. He's got space. He can quarterback a little bit more. And that's letting guys like Conley, when healthy, play off the ball and get closer to that 20 points per game average that he's never really hit before.
Yeah. His defensive rating this year, too, is...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's down back to where it was when he had that 2014-15 season when he played 81 games, was one of the best players in the league. Is he back to Marc Gasol, great defender, and being such an improved offensive player and a more of a scorer on offense?
Oh, yeah. It looks like it. It looks like it. It's hard to say because, you know, I feel like the general trend of players playing above and beyond when the Grizzlies are injured like this, it also applies to Mark, of course. I can't say with full confidence that he's going to be playing like this in February or March. But for now, it looks legit. Looks like the defense is back. Looks like, you know, he's above and beyond what the Mark of 2 or 3 years ago was, which is incredible to say, really. I think the one thing is that his rebounding is down. His field goal percentage is a little bit down, although that really comes with the additional three-pointers. But yeah, looks like I really want to trust the Mark. The only thing that I'm concerned about is the minutes. I think he's averaging over 32 for sure. It might be over 33 as well, minutes per game.
Yeah, he's just above just above 33, just a shade under 34, actually.
I see, yeah. It's one of those things where I feel like Memphis, with its injury history, they're a team that should be resting their star players a little more. And I don't want to get too, you know, nervous about this, but it's on my radar at least. I don't want him to be gassed out by, you know, February or the playoffs or whatever.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
How would you manage his minutes? And I mean, would you cut it down to like 30? Would you, you know, maybe rest him on certain back-to-backs? Like, how would you go about resting him?
I think Fizdale has rested him on a few back-to-backs. You know, I would definitely keep doing that by all means. And then there's just, you know, a couple of games where if it looks like it's out of reach, if you're, you know, whether you're in a blowout win or a blowout loss, I think you could definitely take Mark out earlier. Sometimes Fizdale is keeping him in till, you know, past the 5 minute mark, and I'm not sure that always makes sense. But yeah, it's just, you know, little situations here and there where you can be trimming his minutes.
So, I mean, you've mentioned Fizdale a couple of times now, and he obviously comes from the Heat. He comes from the Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley coaching tree. Coach LeBron, as you mentioned, he was a big part of Chris Bosh taking threes. What kind of changes has he really implemented on this Grizzlies team that has been defined by a particular style over the past couple of years?
I think the big one that I've noticed so far has been on the offensive end. You know, obviously the offense this season has been lacking behind the defense, but some of what Fizdale is trying to do in terms of sets, it's very encouraging because he has, like I mentioned, he's got the big men out at the 3-point line. He's got the ball, you know, moving around a little bit more. And what that leads to is just kind of more motion-based, more flex-based screen and pass and screen action where, you know, you have guys on the move more often. You have Mike Conley really attacking off the ball. That's why I'm so high on Conley this season, is that because, you know, instead of him kind of dictating the flow and getting the ball in the post, this season he's really being allowed to attack more. He's, you know, dumping up to Gasol up top. Then he's, you know, zipping through off curling off a screen from Randolph, and he's just attacking the rim again. And stuff like that is really, really encouraging to watch. You just see all the even the bench players this season have been sort of killing it ever since the injuries went down. And I think a lot of that comes down to Fizdale being a player's coach, like a lot of people say. I think he's definitely lived up to the hype. All the little things that you see in Eric Spoelstra as the Heat coach, all the small ball stylings, you're definitely seeing that reflected in Fizdale, and I'm just super excited to have him as the coach now.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was someone I was like very excited to see what he would do in Memphis, and I'm hoping, just because I want to see it and I believe in what he could do with him, Parsons and him seem like they'd be a really good duo together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can top Parsons and Mark Cuban, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, like Fizdale might not go to the club with Parsons, but he like might be better for him in a basketball sense.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, are there any issues that you're seeing with this team? Like, what are some of the things that you think are maybe keeping? Besides, I mean, the injuries, when you have guys like Mike Conley and James Ennis, who has become very important for them, and I know you're a fan of, and Parsons, these guys are hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, are there any other like glaring issues you're seeing with this team so far?
None that I've seen, really. But the one I'm concerned about, besides minute management, I suppose, but I don't really want to get too deep on that.
Yeah.
The one I think it could be a problem later on is just the depth of the team. You know, obviously they paid out huge contracts to Conley and Parsons, and then they have Zach Randolph on the bench now. But after Randolph, it's really a lot of unproven guys, most of them in that 20 to 23-year-old range. You know, they're counting on guys like Troy Williams and Andrew Harrison and Jarrell Martin to be key backup pieces, kind of. And maybe that changes when they get to full health. But really, this team, even on paper, isn't that deep at all. They're going to have to rely on, you know, huge performances from guys who are really not in prime contributing age to go deep in the playoffs. And I think that's something that could be a concern. Right now, they're all playing above and beyond, like I said. But that's something you definitely have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, but you should be getting certain guys back, right? Like Vince, old man. Vince is also like my favorite thing.
Old man Vince is like spectacular to watch. You can't not love Vince Carter. But I don't think he shot over 40% in like 3 or 4 seasons. It's been not great.
The narrative in my head tells me like that's like I want that to be false, but I'm like gonna look right now and it's probably very true.
No, Vince hasn't had like an above average 3-point shooting season since Dallas.
Forty percent from the fields last year in Dallas, and then it went down to 33. Yeah. He's at a little under 40% this year, but that like saying that in a positive tone is like not great.
No,
for like a guy, rotation player.
Yeah, but it's Vince Carter. You can't criticize him.
No, it's like he won't do it. But like dunk contest, Vince Carter would be pretty great.
That'd be so much fun.
Like even if it's just like he gets owned by like Zach LaVine or something like that. Like I'd be down to see him.
I'm there for it.
Just get three jumps.
Actually, it's kind of funny. Yeah, I feel like, you know, the way people talk about Vince Carter these days, as in like, oh, he's this 3-point shooting every once in a while busts out a super cool dunk kind of guy. That's honestly Richard Jefferson. Jefferson has been the guy that people think Vince Carter has been for the last 3 years.
That's kind of funny, actually, you say that. That's true. And like Richard, like Jefferson wasn't even like that guy until the finals. Like he was in maybe the Eastern Conference Finals. Because good in Dallas, but he was not good in the regular season last year.
I think the one thing that stood out to me is that his 3-point shooting has been like good pretty much every year since he was in his prime.
Yeah, and he hasn't pulled out a dunk this year. He hasn't pulled out like that Richard Jefferson, like just ends like a 24-year-old. It's gonna come.
Yeah, I feel like every time I watch Richard Jefferson, he just busts one of those out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I kind of always like when it's on someone younger. Like I kind of hope he dunks on Gobert or like DeAndre or like an elite rim protector, because it would just be hilarious to see this like guy who calls himself an old man all the time.
Yeah,
like we'll be in the locker room after the game, and he'll complain about being old.
Yeah,
like, randomly.
Richard Jefferson seems like a great guy though. I have him on Snapchat. He just seems excellent.
Yeah, he's he's a hilarious. He's super fun, and he's someone that I'm surprised he's this good. He's certainly for the Cavs been better than Dunleavy. As we look at these two games, Dunleavy's just been non-existent. Like DeAndre Liggins, bless his heart, is like I had him in the rotation right now. It's kind of amazing.
Man.
With this Grizzlies team and with this Cavs team, like, what are some things you think the Grizzlies can do to like push the Cavs? Because I think the Gasol thing is huge. Because I think Thompson has struggled a little bit against bigger centers this year and more skilled centers, so that matchup's going to be really interesting. I think they can throw interesting stuff at Kevin Love. I think if Conley was healthy, I think Conley would really push Kyrie in a lot of interesting ways. And I'm really bummed out we won't see that, but what do you see the Grizzlies being able to do to kind of make the Cavs uncomfortable? And again, we just saw them like wreck the Warriors.
Honestly, I think it's really hard to say, just because, you know, Memphis is playing so well above where they're expected to be at. It's just so hard to say on any given night what they're going to do well, how they're going to beat you. I think, you know, if they play like the Memphis Grizzlies that you would normally scheme for, then Cleveland would have it pretty easy. But I think where they're at right now is just that it's so hard to call what they're going to play like on any given night. I think I guess the one big matchup that I'd be looking at is definitely Gasol again, like how the Cavaliers have to defend Gasol up top, mm-hmm. and how they gear towards, you know, a 3-point shooting big man. I think I think Cleveland definitely has the personnel for that, whether it's going small or pulling Tristan Thompson against him. But no, I think it's pretty hard to say overall, just because Memphis is so I can't even predict where Memphis is going to play at any given night.
Is that frustrating for you as someone who is a fan and who covers them? Like, is that frustrating for you to kind of go into a game and not exactly know what to expect?
It would be frustrating if we weren't smoking Golden State by 31 every night.
Yeah. I mean, so what was that like for you, like watching that game? Like,
I haven't been able to watch too much of this winning streak just because, you know, finals.
Yeah.
I've been wrapping up. But I mean, I caught parts of it last night and I was like, wow, I don't know how this is happening. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's I caught that game. It's one of the games I watched with the condensed view this morning because I had stuff I was doing last night. Like I caught that and I watched the Cavs play the Hornets like on the speed the condensed game.
Oh yeah,
League Pass, which is like the best thing ever. That was it saves you like an hour. I don't know what it is, but like that something about Memphis, like good teams playing Memphis, just seems like they get bogged down by what Memphis does.
Yeah. Memphis, you set expectations for Memphis and they're just going to find a way to screw you over. You can never know what they're going to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, look,
living, breathing variance.
Yeah, no, 100%. So look at, Tuesday to Wednesday, you kind of hit on this. Mm-hmm. We'll kind of wrap it up on one of these last things here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible the Cavs are going to see like two different teams?
Definitely.
Nights?
Yeah. They had a similar back-to-back home series with Miami earlier in the season, mm-hmm. and I think it was one night they got I think they got smoked by Miami, and the next night they came out and beat them pretty handily. So I think, you know, it might be a repeat of that. I don't think Memphis is the team that I don't trust too much on back-to-backs, mm-hmm. given, you know, the depth right now as well as Marc Gasol's age. But I think I'm confident saying that if they can keep rolling like they have been, they'll take one game. I probably wouldn't bet on it, but I think, you know, just off a gut feeling, I'll say, hey, that they're going to win one game. But I definitely expect a huge swing on how they look from one night to another.
Yeah, I mean, so would you expect them to rest, if they're going to rest like Gasol, would that be Wednesday or would that be Tuesday, based on kind of your guess there?
Let's see. I think they have 2 days off right now, and then I think one day off after the second game. So I think they'll probably rest him. Well, actually, I can't really say that I know, because Fizdale has been pretty unconventional, I think, or hard to predict about how he's chosen to rest players. He might not rest anybody. But I'm going to say if he does rest a player, and I think he would, I hope he would at least, it'd be on that second game.
Yeah, that makes
sense. The second game is the away game too, right?
I believe that the home game, the away game for Cleveland is Wednesday. Yeah, I think it's in Memphis on Wednesday.
Okay, so yeah, I think they would probably rest him in the away game.
So they'd rest him Tuesday.
They'd rest him in Cleveland probably.
Okay,
is my guess.
That would make sense. Yeah, because it's Memphis at Cleveland on Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then on Wednesday, the 14th, that's Cavs at Grizzlies at 8 p.m. at the FedEx Forum. So last thing I'm going to ask you, and this is kind of not about the specific Grizzlies team, but it's Mario Chalmers, played for the Grizzlies last year, tore his Achilles with the Grizzlies last year. Just kind of having watched him last year in the older non-Heat Mario Chalmers, a lot of Cavs fans stick to him as a potential backup point guard option. One, I would like to know your take if you think the Cavs actually need a backup point guard, and two, would Chalmers be a good option?
I don't know about need, but I think, you know, I'm sure it can help. Or I'm sure that it would help. I think Chalmers, he's the kind of guy that, you know, I think if he's healthy, he'll definitely help. I think he intends to sign with a contender when he's healthy, which might be pretty soon, actually. So I think, you know, hey, by all means, go for it. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be fun to see LeBron and Chalmers reunited. And Chalmers, actually, last season was an outstanding player. I don't remember his exact stats, but he was a huge shot creator off the bench, which is kind of surprising because I feel like in Miami he was always kind of seen as that kind of Patrick Beverley type spot up 3-point shooting point guard.
Yeah.
Except that his 3-point percentage actually hasn't been that stellar apart from the LeBron years. I think he's the kind of guy that you can give the ball to against second units. He's going to be very fundamental in the way he attacks pick and rolls. Kind of like he's going to be a bit of a spark plug. One thing I didn't realize until last year was that he's actually like super good taking the ball into the lane with kind of that slithery kind of, you know, side to side dribble. And then he's really good at drawing contact. So I think he's a guy that would really help a bench that could use a second, a shot creator. So I think Cleveland would be a really fun fit. He'd probably shoot the three really well in Cleveland as well.
Yeah, I'm down for him because I think out of the options people have thrown out there, I think, you know, I think he was really good last year. I think he's better than Amon Shumpert in that role, which, like, you know,
Shumpert, I don't want to see. Yeah, I've seen Shumpert play point guard on a few possessions this season, and I'm like, please, never again.
Like, he's been good in a lot of ways, but in that way, he has not been good. I think LeBron needs somebody to yell at.
Like, yeah, I would love to yell at right
now. Like, there's literally no one in the locker room right now. He, like, he will bust people's chops. He'll, like, tease people. Mm-hmm. But he, like, Jordan McRae would be the guy you think he might yell at.
I was going to say. Like
they're dancing
this whole,
buddies.
Like, LeBron and Jordan McRae friends deal is kind of weird just because, like, it feels like LeBron should be yelling at Jordan McRae.
Well, it was like last year, Jared Cunningham, who I believe is playing in China now, LeBron would like invite him and have him work out with him in his pregame routines.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Jared freaking Cunningham. And then like this year, McRae, like there's always when they at the queue, at least they cut to them dancing before they come out of the tunnel. And it's always like LeBron and McRae and like JR like dancing or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like the only guy I've seen LeBron like tease in person is like he teased Liggins the one day because like Liggins had a plate of food and he hadn't played at all, and LeBron was like kind of was basically just like teasing him for eating like food after not doing any physical activity, and he hit because mm-hmm. they have the post-game spreads. If you've never been in the NBA locker room, NBA players, when we're in there for media, it's kind of really awkward because you get in there, they're like getting dressed and getting out of the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And they, not all of them necessarily want to talk to you. And a lot of, like, Mike Dunleavy does this thing where, like, he's in there just long enough where, like, if he leaves, no one's going to say anything to him. So props mm-hmm. to Mike Dunleavy.
That's a vet move.
It's a real vet move. And he's just always, he doesn't, like, wear a suit. He just goes, like, hoodie and jeans all the time. Like, he plays it smart. But, like, Liggins is usually a guy who sticks around for a little bit. And he's, you know, most of the time no one talks to him. But
mm-hmm.
He's just, like, got a whole plate of food from the post-game spread one day. And LeBron was, like, teasing him for, like, taking food in a pop out of their fridge. Because, like, he didn't play. And he was just, like, that's empty calories, man. Like, good for you. Like, but that's the only guy. We haven't seen him, like, screaming at anybody, like, yelled at Rio or, like, yelled at Mozgov before. We missed that. Yeah. But, Kevin, thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it. We appreciate your insight. You obviously read for Grizzly Bear Blues and the step back, but is there anywhere else that I missed that in my intro that you guys didn't hear, but, like, that you were writing for? Anything you want to plug?
Nowhere consistently for the moment, but maybe soon.
Ooh, I like that. I dig the tease. But go check out Grizzly Bear Blues, a really, really good Grizzlies blog in the SB Nation Network, our sister Grizzlies site, if you will, with Fear the Sword. And thanks to Kevin for coming on. Kevin, where can people find you on Twitter if they want to keep up on your tweets?
Right, that is twitter.com@KevinHFY if they want to keep up with my tweets, which I don't imagine why they would want to, but yes.
I mean, why does anybody tweet? That's like our big existential question.
Never tweet.
Never tweet. Shout out to Eric Malinkowski for never tweeting. But thanks to Kevin for coming on. This has been Locked On Cavs. This has been Chris Manning. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to do a little podcast I recorded a while ago with Brian Toporek about NBA assets and the Cavs assets that I'm going to slide in tomorrow because I don't want to do back-to-back Grizzlies recap. We're going to recap both Grizzlies games Thursday, so check out that. And thanks again to Kevin. This has been Chris Manning. This has been Locked On Cavs. Talk to you tomorrow.